stand by. We are about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to this Googleopoly conference call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. Now, at this time, I'd like to turn the call over to your host, Mr. Scott Cleland. Please go ahead, sir.
Welcome to the Googleopoly conference call, the Google DoubleClick anti-competitive case. I'm Scott Cleland, president of Precursor LLC, and you can now find my paper and a summary of my paper and the two charts I'll be discussing today at googleopoly.net. That's Google, OPOLY.net. We'll also be posting an audio file of this call on the googleopoly.net site this afternoon. I'd like to start with a brief outline of what we'll be talking about on this call. First, I'll begin with a brief overview of the paper and my conclusion that the Federal Trade Commission will block this merger as anti-competitive. Second, I will share my three big takeaways from the call. And third, I'll walk you through the two charts, which is at googleopoly.net, which is the clearest way to explain the core problem with this merger. Specifically, how this merger will allow Google DoubleClick to corner the online advertising market and who will be harmed by that cornering of the market. And in the interest of time, I'll go to the Q&A, where people can ask specifics about the analysis. First, an overview of my primary overall conclusion, that the FTC is likely to block the Google DoubleClick merger in federal court as anti-competitive several months ahead. By way of background, antitrust is very fact-specific and evidence-driven. So to understand the true antitrust outlook for any merger, one needs to become very familiar with the core facts of the case. To date, I believe that media and investment coverage of this merger has been remarkably superficial, and hence the need for and the value of this fact-based white paper. Now, the purpose of the paper is to present the detailed case and theory, argumentation and evidence of why the merger is anti-competitive, and why it harms consumers, content providers, and advertisers. The paper defines the market, explains why Google, DoubleClick are competitors, explains why startups, Yahoo, and Microsoft can't compete with Google in search, spotlights the four anti-competitive network effects of the merger, and shows how the merger harms directly consumers, content providers, and advertisers. Now let's go to, I'll do the theory of the case and the summary conclusions of the case before we move on to my takeaways. For the theory of the case, Google and DoubleClick each dominate the two leading competitive technology platforms to deliver targeted online advertising. And that is the market of using technology to monetize the intermediation of the three core online advertising constituencies, that is users, advertisers, and content providers. And it's also it's the leading business model for providing access to internet content. Now, with roughly 60% share of each of their respective technology platforms, search and display, and these technologies are mutually reinforcing, the combination would enable a horizontal merger to monopoly, which would harm users, advertisers, and content providers, with higher prices and less choice. Now, briefly, what the core conclusions are of the paper. The facts and evidence will prove that the Google DoubleClick will substantially lessen competition in the appropriate defined relevant market of targeted online advertising, warning the FCC to file for an injunction in federal court. The facts and the evidence will also prove this to be a standard horizontal merger to monopoly of competitive technology platforms in the targeted online advertising market. It's not a vertical merger of separate search and display markets, or an inconsequential merger in the broader $300 billion advertising market that includes TV, radio, and newspapers, etc. Now, the market power created by the Google DoubleClick merger would lessen competition and harm consumers, advertisers, and content providers specifically by enabling Google DoubleClick to effectively dominate online ad serving to websites and the monetization model for accessing internet content. It would also provide Google DoubleClick greater opportunity to collude to manipulate the targeted online advertising market, raise prices, fix prices, and price predatorily. I think the facts and the evidence will prove that that the consumer, advertiser, and content provider harm. Tens of millions of consumers would be harmed by facilitating an unregulated information access monopoly making consumers more vulnerable to misrepresentation, conflicts, fraud, deceptive and unfair trade practices, and clandestine invasion of privacy. Thousands of advertisers would be harmed by higher online ad prices, less real choice, and impaired market forces to prevent, investigate, and rectify rampant click fraud. And hundreds of content providers would be harmed by higher prices, i.e., lower revenue ad splits, and less real choice for monetization of their digital content via the Internet. Well, now that we've talked about the case, let's talk about what I think the three big, my big takeaways are from the paper. First, the more people learn about this merger, the more concern they will develop. The trend line of concern and focus is only going to increase with knowledge. The facts and evidence are plentiful and compelling for anyone willing to delve below the surface coverage of this merger. My second takeaway. Most people do not appreciate how extraordinarily concentrated key parts of the Internet have become. And this may be probably the single most telling part of the call, I want to give you an analogy to help you understand how incredibly concentrated key parts of the Internet are. So let's go with an analogy. To equal Google DoubleClick's level of market concentration in the intermediary online advertising market, one single financial services company would have to own the following: the top 15 Wall Street banks and asset managers, 60% of the hedge fund and private equity industries, the New York and London stock exchanges, the two leading provider of financial analytical tools, Bloomberg and FactSet, two of the three national providers of credit profiles, Experian and Equifax, and 60% of the Federal Reserve and U.S. Census Bureau's raw market and consumer data. Now, what is really startling with this analogy is that I'm being conservative. The level of horizontal and vertical concentration that this merger would create is extraordinary and like nothing else we have seen in intermediary markets. Now, my third takeaway from this is why I took the time to do this detailed analysis is that I strongly believe that Google will soon displace Microsoft as the lead focus of the antitrust community going forward. Now, as a personal aside here, I expect to be personally attacked for my analysis and conclusions on this merger, just like I was attacked by Bernie Ebers and WorldCom as the idiot Washington analyst for having the audacity to be the only analyst in the country willing to predict and stick to my guns that the government would block the WorldCom-Sprint merger. Well, overall, I'm confident that the facts, evidence, and analysis in this case ultimately will prove my assessment that Google DoubleClick on the DoubleClick merger is correct and will be blocked by the FTC. Now, let's move, if you can, go to googleopoly.net just to have a visual that makes this easier, and I'll try and be descriptive for the folks that don't have access to the charts. But basically what I wanted to do is in two pictures capture the core essence of what the problem is. And basically what you have is you need to understand an intermediary market involves users and advertisers, and users are demand, advertisers are supply, and the content providers or websites are the currency in this market, because we all know we don't pay for Google. It's paid for via advertising and the third party. Hence, you have to look at the market in a triangle. Well, what the big insight of why this merger is a problem is that it combines the number one and number two Internet audiences, so it consolidates demand heavily, and there's 650 million Google users and 800 million DoubleClick, and the statistics are between 70 and 80% of the Internet audience are being coming together. Then you combine it with the content providers, where it combines the number one and number two content networks. Google has over a million AdSense networks of websites. And DoubleClick has 17 of the top 20 websites. And then you combine that with the number one and number two online ad client bases, and that's your supply. and hence you see that the market power on each side, users, content provider, and advertisers, is consolidated by number one and number two in a big way. And what that does is it tends to corner this market, the online advertising market, for search, for ad serving, for the behavior metadata, which is, you know, consumer clicks and all the, you know, current and historical data, performance analytics or tools to analyze all that that consumer click data, and then eventually ad brokering and ad exchanges. So if we turn to the next slide, you'll see the same thing, but you want to understand then, well, how are people hurt and what are the anti-competitive harms? And it takes the same chart of users, content providers, and advertisers, and it shows that users are going to be harmed by a monopoly price of lost privacy and more conflicts and more fraud, which are real, because just because consumers don't pay for something directly doesn't mean it's a marketplace and doesn't mean that there aren't anti-competitive harms. It's just those harms take something other than price. With content providers, you know, the websites, I think, would quickly find that there would be no other game in town and that the existing revenue splits that they would get would go down and down and down because they wouldn't have much competition or any competition for an alternative. And advertisers, and, you know, on the Google DoubleClick call, people said, yes, there were, you know, they admitted that there was a very heavy overlap between the advertiser client bases. And so there would be, you know, advertisers would face less, face higher prices and less choice. Now, the real, you know, power of this merger is going forward, because what a Googleopoly would allow is that they could bundle their existing Google's existing dominance in search and DoubleClick's existing dominance of 60% of the ad serving market, and combine two of the largest, you know, behavior metadata databases. That's all of the, you know, the trillions of clicks that that Americans and people around the world have made. And then they have the two technology platforms, or, you know, that analyze this data, putting that together from the two sides, from the demand side and the supply side, and they would know more about more people, and they would be able to run tools and analytics that no other competitor could come even close to matching. And then if you control the platform and you control the data and information, that's why I use the analogy with Wall Street and the capital markets, is if you can see most of the demand, see most of the supply, and you control most of the currency, you can manipulate the market. And how can you manipulate the market? Well, remember, ad brokering is you're supposed to be an honest broker to make sure that the two sides are getting what they want. Well, if you have, you know, if you basically manage the market, you can manipulate it because you can self-deal or you can front-run your clients. That's why you know, the markets are regulated by the SEC and the NASD. Is because whenever you get a sufficient concentration in a broker, there is an incentive to self-deal and to front-run. Well, the market, online ad market, is now moving from search to ad serving. It's moving towards ad brokering, which is matching buyers and sellers, and ad exchanges, which are buyers and sellers. And by the way, DoubleClick announced a week before the acquisition by Google that it was launching an ad exchange. So I think the most interesting things that the FTC will find is the ability that they are going to be able to leverage and bundle and tie search dominance, ad serving dominance, dominance of consumer click behavior, and dominance on the tools into the ad brokering and ad exchange market. So with that summary, what I'd like to do is, operator, why don't we go to Q&A where I can answer specific questions.
Yes, sir. If anyone wishes to ask a question today, they'd be signaled by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1. Once again, for questions, it's star 1. If you happen to be using your speakerphone, make sure the mute function is released to allow the signal to reach your equipment. We will take our first question from Robert Peck with Bear Stearns.
Yeah, hi there. I apologize. I joined a couple of minutes late, so if you've answered this, please excuse me. My first question is, the paper itself, was there any funding particularly given for the development of this paper? And then secondarily, could you talk a little bit about any of your past either clients or affiliations, just so we can have a clear idea of, you know, your third-party nature?
Absolutely good question. No one asked me to do this study, and I did not get contracted to do this by anyone. What I do at Precursor, if anybody goes to precursor.com, I believe that the biggest change going on in the marketplace is the collision of the communication sector and the technology sector. And communications has been regulated, technology has not, and it creates a huge clash. So how I make my money as a consultant is, anticipating change and anticipating, how things will play out. And when I'm as a forward-looking precursor, I looked at this at Google and have realized and been studying Google for years that they are going to quickly supplant Microsoft as the lead focus for antitrust. Now, in the interest of full disclosures, most everybody that knows me knows that I also have another hat, and I'm chairman of netcompetition.org, which is always fully disclosed on my website and on netcompetition.org, and I represent virtually the entire broadband industry on the net neutrality debate. And that includes the wireline and wireless broadband sectors, wireless, telecom, and cable. So, my motivation on this is I know that it's good business to be out in front of things. I have a long history of being early and right on mergers. I have a history of being right on every single merger that I covered over the last 14 years in the communication sector. So I know people will try and say, I am just going after Google because I'm being paid to do it. People have to, look at the facts and the analysis and see and check them. I'm more than happy to have my work checked by anybody, and we'll see in the end when the government does the fact-checking and looks at the evidence what they'll do. Time will tell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
And now we will move to Winter Casey with National Journal.
Oh, I was actually going to ask something similar to what you just said, that I had heard that you were maybe looking to attack the net neutrality issue more than you were against Google for antitrust.
Well, there's no way to with a straight face to not say that public policy issues overlap. The reality is Google is leading the charge for net neutrality, but that has nothing to do with the Google DoubleClick case. However, I have on my blog, and anybody who follows my work can see it, I have nothing to hide. I have been hard on Google, and Google deserves somebody to be hard on them. They, are the leading national kleptomaniac. They are being sued by authors, by publishers, by websites, by programmers, by studios, and by trademark owners. Virtually every industry that could is suing them for intellectual property theft. Another thing is on fraud. The online click fraud rate, third-party estimates, is 14%. It's one of the most fraud-based industries out there, and there's no disclosure of conflicts of interest in this brokering market. And obviously, anti-competitive issues are here. And so I have, it's kind of a rich subject to talk about Google, because Google is the leader taking the market in a direction of where the internet business model will go. And I think what will trouble the FTC probably the most is that they're going to realize if they get this merger wrong, that the advertising model will be predominant of the internet, and the business model will be advertising, and one company will dominate it. And so everybody will think on the surface that the internet is this open, competitive, and highly non-concentrated entity. And the reality for the monetization architecture, basically how do people make money on the internet, Google is already dominant, DoubleClick is already dominant in their segments, and putting the two together, in my analysis, it's game over. And I don't think the government is going to want to take that risk. Fair question, though. Does that answer it?
Yeah.
With that, we will move to the next question with Simon Applebaum, Cable World. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Scott, you mentioned before that you might get some attacks for what you're showcasing today, and I'll suggest one possible line of attack, and then you respond to it. What do you say to people who might think, Scott, you are doing exactly what you did not like the advocates of net neutrality doing, which was make a hypothetical controversy, deal in what-ifs, woulda, coulda, shoulda, this is the way it might be, and we're going to slam the telephone industry, the cable industry, et cetera, for web censorship when, in fact, it didn't happen. And you couldn't come up with an example of, here's an example of what the cable industry did or what such and such did that provokes net neutrality. What do you say to somebody who might raise that line of attack?
Facts and evidence. In the sense, you know, I've been debating on net neutrality and doing this, and why I think I'm effective at what I do is I argue on the facts. The reason why I don't think net neutrality regulation is necessary is because the facts are that this is a competitive market that gets increasingly competitive in cable and wireless, and it's the most competitive market in the world for facilities-based broadband competition. So people will love to do ad hominem attacks. They love to go after somebody and say, you know, at the motives. They'll call it AstroTurf. They'll do whatever. But, you know, I've been in the kitchen a long time. I can take the heat. I've taken a lot of abuse. Bernie Evers used to call me the Washington idiot analyst. He sent all sorts of thugs at me to try and get me to change my view. And, you know, I've been around long enough to know, when I'm right and when I have done my work and when I've thought of everything. And I've spent, you know, this is something that took me 10 or 12 weeks to do. Anybody that takes the time to read the analysis, I will defy somebody to read the piece and say that there isn't something that they learned and something that adds some concern to them. And so what I'm urging people to do is, read it, test it, you know, test the facts. You know, I think it's going to withstand scrutiny. And I believe, my reputation will withstand scrutiny as well.
Scott, just a follow-up. Do you see the FTC, rather than disavow the merger, putting any sort of restrictions on this merger if it decides it wants to go forward? Or for Google or DoubleClick to do some things on their own prior to approaching the FTC?
Well, you know, this is people who know antitrust know that the FTC and the Department of Justice did a study where when they looked at divestitures or conditions, they learned from their experience that they weren't very effective. And so generally they either like to say yes to a merger or say no to a merger because conditions or divestitures require an ongoing regulatory relationship, and generally that isn't been what the FTC or the Department of Justice want to do. So I think that clearly they're going to be zeroing in on the consumer data that people have. You know, the privacy groups have tons of legitimate arguments on, the abuses of privacy here. And that was another reason why Google, should be in people's, be under scrutiny. One of the privacy groups rated them as having the worst privacy policies and privacy practices in the world of any major company. So there's, I expect the FTC will look at privacy, but from a competitive standpoint, it'll look at privacy as the other side of the coin of consumer data. You just can't imagine how much information Google has and collects. Let me just put let's put a couple of things in perspective. If I can pull, to a part of my report, and I apologize as I'm thumbing through it. I'm not. That would happen when you have as many details as I have on the 35-page report. Oh, here it is. Basically, what Google does each day is it processes hundreds of millions of searches a day with sub-second response time. It indexes tens of billions of web pages daily. It makes an actual copy of the entire Internet regularly. That means every word of every page they store in their data centers and cache it in order to speed response time. And they store literally trillions of searches. They know more about more Americans and more people around the world than any company has ever known about consumers in the history of the planet. And hopefully that answers your question.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Once again, everyone, if you have a question, star 1 will get you into our queue. We will pause for any additional questions. Mr. Cleveland, there have been no responses.
Okay, I'm going to answer two that should have been asked right now if I could, and that is, you know, why are Google and DoubleClick direct competitors? Everybody says, oh, it's in search and display. And what people need to remember is Google and DoubleClick offer the same targeted online advertising value proposition to the same corporate advertising clients, to the same Internet users and websites. They just employ different technology platforms. And you need to understand it's very easy technologically for these two technology digital companies to interchange their ad-serving formats. Where Google tends to be text, it can easily do display and rich media, and DoubleClick can easily, you know, reconfigure their technology to do to do more text ads. So that's the first question. You know, they very much are direct competitors, even though they have entered this market from different directions. Another question that I'm surprised people didn't ask, and that is, why can't Microsoft and why can't Yahoo compete with Google? And what's most interesting there is that Yahoo and MSN are retail websites. What that means is that when they try and use their search for wholesale to go out and sign up other websites, they have a conflict of interest. Websites are reluctant to use Yahoo or Microsoft as their search engine on a wholesale basis because they're sitting there saying, wait a minute, you know, I'm a competitor to Yahoo or MSN. So why has Google taken share from 35 to 65% over the last couple of years? It's almost all through wholesale relationships, and on the wholesale relationship, Google has a massive advantage over Yahoo and Microsoft. And many people also don't understand the fact that Google used to be the search engine of Yahoo at the beginning. So Yahoo is not search-focused. It has only learned how to do search in the last few years and itself, and it's not doing a very good job, as the numbers show. So in the analysis, there's tons of additional information that explains why Yahoo and Google are not going to be able to discipline this combination. And, operator, are there any other questions that come on?
At this time, there is no additional signals for questions. Once again, star 1. We'll pause for another moment. And we do have a question. Adonis Hoffman with Adonis Hoffman Personal Interest. Go ahead.
Hi, Scott. Question. There have been at least two or three other mergers in this space. What distinguishes this merger from the other two or three that we've read about, one of which I believe has been approved by the FTC?
Good question, Adonis. The Microsoft Aquantiv, you know, people thought, you know, and Google's tried to say, oh, but, you know, our merger is just one of many, and the Microsoft Aquantiv merger, you know, lets everybody know this is a competitive market. And, you know, when you look at the facts and when the FTC investigated this, they realized that the portion of Aquantiv that competes with DoubleClick, at least for ad serving to publishers, is only 5% share roughly to DoubleClick's 60% share. And so, Aquantiv in this market has very small share, and Microsoft does not have the same, cross leverage in the online advertising market than search and display has. So, the reason why they didn't even bother to do a second request on Microsoft Aquantiv is that the shares of Microsoft are so much smaller that they're just not a concern. And then on Yahoo, the numbers may be a little bit more, they were not enough to even trigger a second request. Now, what I think will be interesting is whether or not the FTC asked for a second request on FeedBurner, which is the acquisition of Google to get the consumer metadata and performance analytics for blogging. because it shows us that, you know, after YouTube, after its purchase of TellMe, and currently announced Feedburner and Grand Central, along with about four or five other mergers, Google is systematically buying up databases and performance tools to reinforce their dominance and foreclose competition going forward. So it'll be real interesting to see whether or not the FTC picks up on that line of inquiry as well. Any other questions?
There is no further questions, sir.
Well, thank you all for joining. Hopefully we were brief, and hopefully you'll find and read the analysis in detail on googleopoly.net. Also, please feel free to call me individually if you'd like. I'm at 202-828-7800, and my email is scleland@precursor.com. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye.
Once again, that will conclude your call for today. Thank you for your participation. Everyone, have a wonderful day.